Welcome to the first CTO Coffee Hour.
Cheers.
We thought today we would talk about a little bit of how to use AI to automate running a business, because you've been talking to a lot of people about this, and there seems to be a lot of questions out there about what can you do, how can you do it, and you've had phenomenal luck, I don't know if quite the right word, with N8N. We hope to make it clear. Matt, N8N, automating business, what have you learned?
First thing, I want to just avoid like the buzzwords. If you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And what's interesting, I'll tell you a story. We've got a mutual former client that I was talking with, and they spent a lot of money on custom software over the years for internal use. And so my opinion on this would be different for external use, but they're just using it internally. And if you're not going to production with this thing, if you're not going to have a million views per minute or a million hits, you're not going to service millions of customers, you're just going to use it internally. I would recommend considering using some of these new AI tools like N8N. For example, you can wire it right into your chats. You can set up agents that understand human readable logic. It's a very visual interface, drag and drop, and you can create it. So it's not like you have to learn to code. So basically the title of the post that's going out next week is why I told my client never to hire coders again, is because this technology is becoming feasible to run, at least internally. I wouldn't say, again, not at scale, but for your business, small to medium sized businesses. And it can understand your SOPs. You can feed it in quite a bit of information. You can feed it in business rules that are totally human readable and understandable. I don't know if I'd have them do complex decision making yet, but what you can do is, if you've got a use case, say someone needs to be reprimanded, right? And you could have the AI basically realize, hey, this person's been late. Gather all the other notes on this person. Is it these extenuating circumstances? And like, how many times have they been late in the last however many time, weeks or whatever, have they been written up before? Bring that information to the director and give them a recommendation. This goes back to the way I'd run that is kind of like how Dan Martell has 10, 90, 10. Basically, come to me with recommendations. So have the AI show up, and just with a button click, I can review this and say submit without having to go and search through all these other things and look for old documents and things like that. Just let the bot do all that. And so that's one way of automating it with decision making.
I like the 10-80-10 a little bit, because what you're saying is, if I'm hearing you, you do 10%, you let the machine fill in the chunk of the 80%, and you check it at the end. So essentially, you're using the AI, the agent, the bot, whatever you want to call it, to do all of the busy work in the middle. You're telling it what to do, and then you are verifying what it's done. Is that about right?
Yeah, you're basically approving it to finish. It comes up with a whole plan for you, and then you say approve or deny, or you critique it before it goes. Yeah. So, and it wires right into your basic chat stuff. One thing that's interesting is it comes with its own interfaces out of the box too. So you can have it prompt you for a form or something like that. You can have it give you multiple choice options. You can have it so you've just got free text, or just a simple approve deny flow. So you could basically say, hey, if someone wants time off of work, you can at mention the bot, and it could go ahead and then ask you a series of questions that it would then use to make its decision. Or you could say, fill out this form, because then it then again comes with its own little form builder. So there's a couple different options how to interact with it. When I say a couple, there's damn near an infinite amount of options how to interact with it. It just comes to down to how you want it to work.
N8N. Most people probably don't even know what that is. And you're talking about NAN and connecting things, et cetera. And it's my understanding, you can provide a little bit of color and flair on this, that N8N isn't necessarily the AI itself. Rather, it's all of the plumbing and the pipes that's going to help you connect everything.
Yes. It's an automation software that's the most impressive one I've seen before. If you've used If This Then That, Zapier, or make.com, this is an open source version of that, where you really can, that gives you a lot of flexibility to wire in with some things. It's really well executed. Is it the end all be all? No, but it's the one where I can peek under the hood, where I can't do that as much with Make or Zapier or If This Then That. I bet there's going to be other competitors shortly, but it's just a really beautiful visual tool for designing these things. In theory, you could design it with like Landgraph Studio or something like that. I believe they've got some prototyping, but I haven't had a chance to do a deep dive there. But that actually exports to code that then you could have someone, a programmer, edit. So that'd be like a step up. Another use case I've thought for N8N is prototyping. If I were to have to prototype something today, I would not likely prototype it completely in code. I would prototype maybe the interface for it in code that the users would type in their doodads with, but I'd export it to pump that event out of the interface into N8N for processing in a visual way instead of coding it all up. And then debugging it is actually, their visual interface is beautiful for debugging. Hit play, it goes one step, hit play, goes to the next step, and you can see what it sends everything. And so it's really phenomenal for debugging and prototyping.
So if you can connect to essentially an infinite number of different things, what could potentially be some triggers? Like, I own a restaurant and I receive an email in my catering inbox to kick off something. What would be some other potential ways you would kick off some sort of automation? So let's say I get that email. It could send me a push notification. It could tell my head of catering. It could, dare I say, if it was built well enough, even make the order for everything that was necessary. That's probably overkill to have that in an email so somebody doesn't order you 5,000 pounds of oysters. But would that be something that's feasible, or what else could you use as triggers in there?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of interconnected ones for like commands. So you could wire it into your messaging center. They could receive messages. You could set it up. I don't think you could have a trigger technically on email, but you could set up a cron to check the email every X amount of minutes and then use that. So I don't, unless there's a push hook in Gmail or something like that, I don't know, but it does integrate seamlessly.
Almost like a delayed trigger through email. The next time it checks the email, it would pick up a new one.
Yeah, polling. Yeah. So it's what we call it in the business, or a cron job. And it basically just every 2 hours, do this. So you can do that. Webhooks exist out there. So webhooks is basically, it gives you a URL that you can have some other program ping out to. So say that it doesn't have an integration yet written for this, you could still use that webhook, give it to another software that supports webhooks, which is just, again, a URL that will trigger a specific flow inside of N8N. So that's really nice to use. And the LLMs are really good at processing pretty much any data that you can push at it. You just give it a little bit of context. Like I said, the forms, I thought that having forms built in was absolutely brilliant. You can have reusable flows. So I've got flows that I reuse with multiple other flows. For example, if you subscribe to us online, we can pipe information into a bot that basically gives a little welcome. Or the same thing I could do with Calendly. So if someone signs up for one of our events, it pumps that information in. The bot can do a little bit of, hey, how's it going? Welcome to our thing. And same thing, I wish we could do it with Luma, but Luma doesn't support any of these things, these webhooks. But I can reuse different things. I've got a Reddit research one. I've got another one for crawling. I got one for Appify. It crawls and has some special logic around Appify. And so I've got a couple different places where I'm crawling Reddit, crawling YouTube to get ideations for business videos, etc. And so I can reuse those there. You've got chat interfaces. It comes with a special chatbot node that you can, it's brilliant because you can specify if you want it to have memory, how much memory, where do you want the memory stored. You can specify what tools it has access to, MCP or just regular tool calls. And you can specify the model. You could say, oh, this chatbot, we don't need to spend that much money on a reasoning model. We're just going to use a GPT mini here or a Llama or whatever. And so it gives you a lot of granular control over it. It's a great beginner tool to visualize how that all works. Like, honestly, again, circling back to prototyping, if you're not like me, we can close your eyes and you can just touch the code. This thing is beautiful to bring it to life for you. So I don't think I've seen anything that shows the way I see code and stuff in my head as much as this thing actually does, as you watch things fly through the air, fly across the screen.
What about some high level use cases of get people thinking a little bit about what they could use this for in their business?
Sure. I can tell you one of my favorite use cases that I'm trying to figure out is I am inundated with noise and alarms and notifications from all directions. There's different ones. There's things where I need to know about it right away. And those lines of communication, if my client's server goes down, they're losing $100,000 an hour. I need to know about that yesterday. Yes, and luckily that doesn't ever happen really because we built good servers, but that line of communication needs to be clear. But occasionally I get like notifications from people that are on social media, like responses or emails coming in from the mailing list that I want to respond to. And you don't want those to distract you if I'm in the middle of doing some deep writing at that point. And so I'm working on using it to, I'm setting some rules that says Matt will deal with these type of notifications at 3 p.m. and these other type of notifications at 4 p.m. and setting very specific blocks of time. And so the LLM takes the incoming notification, basically processes it. Is it this type of notification about the mailing list? Is it a question from a potential client? Is it from my internal team? And it's something that can wait. And then aggregating those so I can just batch hammer out responses to some of this stuff without allowing myself to get distracted. And an LLM can do that with prompts. And so I just am starting to pipe in all the different things that beep and ping at me into this thing so I can turn them off on my phones and have this thing decide what I should be watching and whatnot, or what I should be seeing at what time. And it's a little risky, but that's why I have audit logs. I have to have a batch time where Matt goes through and double checks that nothing slipped through the cracks. But I think aggregation of data is going to be a big one. We already got crawlers. You could say, hey, do deep research, and it goes across the internet and brings you a bunch of information. It's like that, but imagine that like on a daily basis. You know,
so you could have a full competitive analysis done of your top three competitors on a daily basis using some of these things even.
I can and I do. You've seen the YouTube one. It pops in there. So I do analysis on my competitors. I say that being like a very small fish at the moment. But yeah, all the time. I have it running daily and another one that runs weekly that does a little bit broader stuff.
It's
that
just going to distill to the top what you need to see on a daily or weekly basis without clicking around the internet, whatever that looks like.
What's trending, it summarizes the comments on things. So it says, hey, this is some comments. This is what people are asking. So I try to aggregate that. What are people asking so I can answer questions people actually care about? Mm-hmm. That's a good one there. So if you're a content maker, you might want to think about that. If you are in a business where you're concerned about your competitors and you want to do some competitive research, I'd strongly recommend checking that out. If I had a sales business that was fixing people's roofs that just got hailed on, there'd be no reason you couldn't have one checking the weather and run, probably crawling next door and saying, hey, here's this place just got hail damaged. Let's run ads on next door for fixing this up. That'd be a really cool one.
I know a person who is a salesperson for a company that does exactly that. So I think if you're saying you could watch the weather looking for hail events within a certain area, you could identify them by some sort of weather service. You could probably draw the bounding boxes on where the hail event occurred, where it was big enough, and then maybe even auto dispatch your people out to hit the ground.
Yeah,
that's pretty big. You'd want to babysit this for a while to make sure it's doing everything right, but that seems like something that should be automated, really.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of N8N is that technology is available to the big companies already. They'd pay someone to code it up and all that stuff works, but you couldn't connect the dots without hiring a team before of very technical people like myself. And now you can get away without having that team there. So like the mom and pop roof repair that's very good at roof repair, but maybe not the best technically has access to this stuff now. And that's the really exciting thing about N8N to me is just bringing that ability to have very custom use cases for your business, to be able to get creative without having to go and hire a bunch of technicians, which is like to technicians like me, okay, that's less work for us. But at the same time, we can thrive and adapt. If you're a programmer and you're like, okay, I'm too snooty to use N8N because I've been writing code for the last 20 years. I'm sorry, you're an elevator operator that's saying I'm not going to become an elevator repairman. It's like, when's the last time anybody saw an elevator operator, a little bellboy that hits the button? It's you've got to get with the times here. And again, I'm just a small fish here. I don't have any say in this. I'm just trying to adapt as fast as the world is changing around me here. Yeah. I'm trying to think of other use cases for things that trigger it. We should just call up small businesses, like little plumbers or something like that, or someone that runs a dance studio. That'd be an interesting one there. Like, how could you use this to automate their business, how to automate their marketing and things like that? Yeah. And so it's also not just the marketing, the delivery of stuff as well, the delivery of assessments, things like that. Yeah, it's a kind of a fun intellectual exchange, I think.
In a world of infinite possibilities, it's maybe difficult to find, dare I say, the perfect examples. But like you said, you can connect to almost anything. You can stream or output to almost anything. So the limit is the imagination of the business that wants to accomplish something.
Yeah. I got one. I got another one for you. Document reconciliation. So imagine you had a business that got invoices, and you've got your internal invoices, and then you've also got the receipts that people got when they bought the product or when they dropped mm-hmm. off the product, and you needed to reconcile those two. And before, you'd have to hire someone, because someone could fat finger or someone could mess up, and you could hire an intern or whatever to do it, someone, you know, via a temp agency, exactly. Or you could now just feed the documents through AWS Textract or a tool like that, a document management system, and then reconcile that by feeding in your QuickBooks Excel sheet and saying, flag anything that you see that's off here. And I wouldn't give it the ability to completely make decisions like, oh, we're going to refund this customer this amount of money. No, I'd say go through, find me everything that looks wrong, which would have taken 2 weeks before for end of the year audit or something like that. And instead, we run it much more frequently and then say, okay, put it my attention, I'll make the decision. So then I look and say, okay, yep, this person was definitely overpaid or underpaid, et cetera.
We do have a question here from NVR Fear 1911, which it says a live stream in a long while. So it's the first live stream, and they asked for the accuracy of OCR.
That
yes, there's always going to be something questionable in OCR, but I think what you're suggesting, Matt, is run this full analysis and then essentially give me a spreadsheet of your results that I can look at and evaluate. And then maybe you could add another column to that spreadsheet, yes, no, if it should be processed, and then N8N could continue to pick those things up, assuming it's a Google Sheet online accessible or something like that.
Yeah. So accuracy is a good question there. And thank you, Never Fear, for jumping on. That's one of our Discord mods, by the way. We've had a lot of problems with it over time. It depends. We had people taking pictures of crumpled pieces of paper and things like that, but it's getting better all the time. It actually did a phenomenal job reading handwriting. We've had people write handwriting on these documents and ran them through there, and it actually would pick up on that. Now, the thing is, Textract, you got Textract and Textract queries. Textract alone just gives you bounding boxes around and says this text is within this bounding box, basically. But then they added text queries, which basically put an LLM, a very generic LLM, not one that's fine-tuned or anything, and it would take those bounding boxes, and you can ask it questions like, hey, can you, in human language, you could say, hey, can you give me the invoice number from this document? And it'll make some assumptions in there and try and extract the invoice number there. Now, from a cost perspective, that's a little bit more expensive because you're paying more for the LLM to kick off and run. But you also could, if you had enough data from the bounding boxes, fine-tune an LLM for your own purposes to extract data there from the bounding box information. You also could extract, fine tune an image to text model, or basically a classifier or something like that, that could extract that as well. So there's a lot of options. So basically, to answer your question, I'm impressed by what I see most of the time. The key is to have it flag when it goes off the rails. Make sure they're not making big assumptions. Tell the LLMs, listen, what's your confidence level in this thing? And that's another good thing is the Textract, I believe, returns confidence levels. So you can have it make decisions based on the confidence levels there. So if you're not over 80% confident, flag it for human interaction. So we're nowhere near just being able to pass it off and say, to heck with it. But that's the beautiful thing about N8N is they have a lot of human in the loop type things that sends a request directly to Teams, to Slack or whatever. Hopefully that answers your question. And thanks for being the first one to ever ask a question on what we're calling CTO Coffee Hour. Just really funny. If you know me, I don't drink coffee. There's Diet Dr. Pepper in here. Yeah, I've got slated to write a few more things about this. I might actually publish a LinkedIn article on it. So if you want to hear more about that, let us know. We'll make sure it gets to you. You always can find me at schematical.com, where I write on technology and how to scale various infrastructures up. And I guess upcoming events, we've got Thursday at 10 a.m. we have the AI coffee hour, basically a mastermind where we talk about different dev tools and things like that we're using for people like me to keep on the cutting edge before AI puts us all out of business. We'll be doing that, having a good old time there. And then on Friday at 1 p.m., we have a Cloud War Games live event that we'll be hosting. And then next week, we're going to take it a little light because I have a real person in-person speaking engagement on the 18th. That's if you're Madison-based, come check it out at Forward Technology Fest. Mm-hmm. And on the 19th, we have our first ever in-person live war game event where me and Jonathan Lindbergh will actually be in the same room together, probably a couple feet from where Dom's sitting right now.
So anybody that wants to check it out can check it out. I'm going to read Never Fear's last comment, and then I think it's about time for us to log off. Never Fear says, wire an LLM into Minecraft. A blast from the past. Could see what happened there.
It seems like everybody's doing that right now. I still would rather do some reinforcement learning stuff. I don't know. Maybe RimWorld at some point. It's calling to me. I'm not going to lie. But with that said, I think Dom's right. We're going to wrap it up. Never Fear, thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for coming. Been a great time, and let's jam again soon.